For Around the Triangle, I'm Sybil McGuire, and in the studio with us today is Barry Bryant and Kelly Podger-Smith of UNC Chapel Hill. Kelly is the Assistant Dean of Student Services, and Barry is a private citizen. And Barry's been in and speaking with us before, but Barry's had a really horrible, awful, bad year. As such, you've gotten involved with the Active Minds chapter at UNC Chapel Hill. Tell us a little bit about the circumstances.
In August of 2008, which isn't this year, of course, but my brother died. And following that, in April of this year, my 25-year-old nephew, Eric James Bryant, committed suicide on campus at UNC. And we're hoping that we can do something to raise awareness about issues like mental health and suicide and depression, and particularly raise awareness on campus.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's when kids, it's my experience that when kids transition from high school to college, the expectations are a little bit higher than they might have expected. The pressure's higher. The support system that they're used to, if they're not living at home, if they're living on campus, not there anymore. And the competition for grades, the competition for, you know, they may have been a big man on campus in high school because they were one of the smartest kids, but in college it can be a little different. And so all of that added to losing his father really, really could have added to his stress level. So you became aware of the Active Minds chapter, did you not?
Yes. When Eric died, I did a lot of research about suicide. I wanted to learn more myself because I wanted to know what I had not done as well as I could have. And I found this Active Minds chapter on the internet. And basically, a young lady named Allison Malman, her brother died in 2001. He was at one university, she was at another. She wanted to do something. She created Active Minds to raise awareness.
And how did you get, Kelly, hi, it's nice to meet you too. Kelly's from UNC Chapel Hill, and I introduced you orally before, but...
And if I could just add that I'm the Assistant Dean for Student Services at the law school.
At the law school,
so
okay.
Not to be confused, we have lots of other assistant
right.
deans, but I'm specifically at the law school where Eric was a student.
Right, and Barry got in touch with you about the Active Minds chapter. Had you heard about it before?
I actually hadn't, and the way I first came to know Barry and the rest of the family is that I knew Eric well, and as the representative from UNC School of Law, I was working with the family throughout that really horrible time, and we were able to get to know each other in that regard. So that's how we first became friends, and I was fortunate to meet all of a lot of Eric's family, and I was glad to be someone that could connect the family to the school. Eric had gone to had gone to undergrad at Carolina and then was at law school. So there were a lot of ties to UNC Chapel Hill, and we were able to work through some of the things that we had to work through just logistically after that the unfortunate incident. And then it's after that we planned a memorial service that we held on campus so that Eric's friends from law school and his friends from undergrad and his family from all over were able to come to a place that Eric really loved and that was special to him, which was UNC. And then sort of from there, Barry became talking about Active Minds and the research he'd been doing. So then he contacted me about that.
Depression and the incidence of depression and suicide among young people is probably higher than a lot of the general public realizes it. Is it not? Is it just because if it's in a really overwhelming time?
There are a lot of risk factors for kids on campuses.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't know, but what I've since found out, is that the likelihood of someone committing suicide increases by gender. Males are three or four times more likely to commit suicide than females. By age group, as you suggested, the second leading cause of death among 25 to 34-year-olds is suicide, and Eric was 25. White males are much more likely to commit suicide. So there are a lot of risk factors that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so researching it made me understand that just by my nephew being at college, he was at a greater risk. And some of the things you mentioned earlier also led into that.
Losing his father, losing his father, the increased pressure of the law school, maybe not being top of the class like he might have been in previously in college and high school. But it surprises me white males, because you would think, I mean, everyone always says white males have such an easy time of it. Yeah, I know that's I'm not intentionally being flip, but it's just surprising. Is it because there are greater expectations, do you think? You know, you're supposed to be this successful, strong, stiff upper lip.
Well, I'm afraid to delve too far into that because I'm certainly not an expert on that. I can only tell you what I've read. As far as whether or not there's a extra pressure on white males, I can't speak to that. I know that at law school, they are all the students there, male or female, are come into the schools high achievers, mm-hmm. extremely high achievers. They mm-hmm. were, as you said earlier, probably the highest achiever at their high school.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're among other high achievers, and so they want to still be the highest achiever. And most of them are doing extremely well, as was Eric.
Right.
But it is pressure to maintain that high GPA and mm-hmm. to socially interact. And it's just difficult. It's a challenge that perhaps they weren't expecting, and it can be overwhelming.
Right. And what you learned, I know, Kelly, you wanted to say something.
Oh, what I talk about a lot with my students is that everything that Barry just said in terms of the pressures and the competition and the stress levels at law school is certainly true. And then, you know, life can be really hard. And mm-hmm. so I have to talk a lot with my students about when life happens.
Right.
And sometimes law school is enough to fill up their whole, you know, kind of sphere of what's going on. And then something else that you throw into that mix.
An additional stressor,
a death of a family member, other struggles, it just compounds on that. And I think in general, young people, I'm 36 myself, so it wasn't that long ago when I was 25. I think there are additional stresses on that age group now than even, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I was in college. And I just see the desire to achieve and to do well and to succeed in sort of this world. I think it, you know, every year it gets to be more intense. And
what are some of the ways that the Active Minds chapter coordinates programs and events with students to make sure that you know where their heads are at?
Well, the exciting part for us right now is that we're in the beginning stages of that. As I personally was not aware of the Active Minds organization until Barry brought it to my attention, which I think is one of the really neat and special things about how Barry and his family have been working through and wanting to really help other families and other students and other people with depression and mental health awareness and suicide awareness. So we are in the stages of just developing that. We have student interest at the law school and beyond and across campus mm-hmm. that want to be involved. Right now it's summer. And mm-hmm. so we're excited to get everyone back on campus in late August. And one of the things that I'm planning on working with the students, and when we sort of actually capture the student organization, which the framework is there, we just need to sort of populate it and the interest is there. We're going to do a wellness week, and mm-hmm. and part of that is going to be everything from, you know, just eating right, exercise, ways to maintain our health, you know, our physical well-being, which certainly connects to our mental well-being, but also talk about the issues and of depression, anxiety, stigmas attached mm-hmm. to things. It's something that,
because especially males are not mm-hmm. necessarily encouraged to admit to a weakness or
and to
a
seek
need.
Help.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So those are the things that we want to just have a week-long session of speakers and events and programming to really kick this off. And our goal is to do that in September when we have, you know, the critical mass back on campus mm-hmm. and a lot of energy and, you know, ready to kind of get involved and that type of thing.
We're speaking with Barry Bryant and Kelly Podger-Smith. She is the Assistant Dean of Student Services at the Law School at UNC Chapel Hill. And we're talking about the Active Minds chapter being activated at UNC Chapel Hill in the law school. You're also going to speak to the other deans, aren't you, about getting this across the board. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a program that could benefit a lot of schools.
It is, Sybil. And all the things that Kelly just talked about require funding or money to make them happen. And so what we're excited about in this partnership is the opportunity to raise some funds. And this golf tournament, we hope to raise a lot of money, but it could be $500. It could be $5,000. But if we raise enough money, there are events that happen on campus like Send Silence Packing and Stomp Out Stigmas mm-hmm. that Active Minds National Chapter is accustomed to having, as well as the original ideas that Kelly and people she's working with have, like this wellness week. So all of them will take some money, and we want to help in any way we can.
Kelly, can you elaborate a little bit on these programs? What Send Silence Packing was one of them.
Send Silence Packing and Stomp Out Stigma mm-hmm. are specific campaigns that the Active Minds National Organization help bring to the different campuses.
And how do they work?
Mainly, they're awareness campaigns. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we've been talking about today and that we talk about when we're talking about mental health and depression and suicide prevention is that the stigma of asking for help, the stigma of reaching out, and the stigma of saying, I'm struggling with something.
Right.
I'm not okay, or I have
right.
a problem, which we all do. And so this is a way that we have the national experts giving advice to all of us who want to bring that message to people at our schools, but the effective ways to do that and the right ways to do that. So these are national campaigns that we hope to bring to UNC's campus.
And what do they do? I mean, basically, is it just letting the students and the kids know, hey, there are resources for you. If you're feeling depressed, if you're struggling, if you have issues with depression, please reach out, not just to your fellow student, but to the faculty.
I think that Barry might be able to talk a little bit more about it, but I think that the idea is that there's a sort of a set curriculum that then can be adapted to highlight local and campus specific resources in addition to national resources.
Yeah, can you add
right.
to it, Barry?
Kelly just gave you a great summary, but mm-hmm. with respect to Send Silence Packing, what it does is last year, and most years, on average, 1,100 kids are killed, or I'm sorry, commit suicide on campus across the country. So what that Send Silence Packing is all about is they take backpacks and place them around campus. They take 1,100 backpacks and place them around campus, and each one of them has the name and story of someone who committed suicide and where they committed suicide. And it is in your face, and it is all about awareness, and it hurts,
mm-hmm.
but it lets you know how real it is and how likely it is to happen on your campus.
And if kids who are struggling see these, and obviously they see the display, they see, look, this is not rare. I am not alone. And I think part of depression and suicide may be that complete isolation and struggle. And there's who can I talk to about this? Who can I admit to about this? What about the stomp out?
Yeah, Stomp Out Stigma.
Stomp Out Stigma.
Is similar. Sorry. And yes, it does exactly what Kelly was saying. It attempts to make sure that all the stigmas associated with feeling free to talk about issues like depression and mental health, or that you're feeling suicidal, that you will be accepted instead of turned away or embarrassed by the problem or the struggles you're having.
There is, by the way, he mentioned, Barry mentioned the Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be held. It's going to be a four-man captain's choice or Super Bowl format at the Wildwood Green Country Club on August 16th, beginning at 8:30 a.m. Registration, driving range, and putting green practice begins at 7:30. If you want more information, you can go to the Wildwood Green website at wildwoodgreen.com/homepage/start_page.php, but I'm sure if you go to wildwoodgreen.com, mm-hmm. you'll be able to find it without putting in all the rest of the URL details. Active Minds creates an atmosphere of open communication between students and staff faculty about mental health issues, and the chapter coordinates events to improve awareness and remove social stigmas associated with issues like mental health, depression, and suicide. James Bryant was scheduled to graduate from UNC School of Law in December of this year. And, you know, I really, it's very sad when we lose our best and our brightest because they're afraid to reach out and say, help me. I need help. I have too much on my plate right now. And it happens more and more. And so I'm commending both of you for turning life's lemons into lemonade by helping other people and helping students reach out like this. If you need more information about the Active Minds Foundation, if you want to get involved or encourage your school or your kids' schools to get involved, where can they find more information about the
Active Minds? Actually has a website. It's a great website, and they're a national chapter, but they have local chapters at colleges. I'm not sure that they're in high schools, but mm-hmm. I'm sure they would be glad to share information. And the website, I think, is activeminds.org, but I'm not positive. You can Google Active mm-hmm. Minds and find the information.
Right. And What are some of the signs that you found out with your research that parents and aunts and uncles and friends of kids that might be struggling could watch for?
I think for me personally, the few that I've thought about were mood swings or behavior changes that happen frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they stay around long, but that they're back and forth. And for example, if you had a friend who was bipolar but you didn't know it, there'd be the mood swings from manic to depressed. And in the stages of mania, they would accomplish a lot and achieve a lot and, you know, high energy. And obviously in the stages of depression, it'd be low energy and want to be alone. And you could notice those. It's harder to notice it with a kid like Eric in law school because at all times they're front and center trying to perform.
Right.
But you could tell it. And I think the key is, what are you going to do when you notice? Are you going to just say, well, he's probably not feeling well? Or are you going to say, you know, I need to ask some questions. I need to find out a little bit more. I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good uncle, whatever mm-hmm. you want to be.
We're speaking with Kelly Podger-Smith, the Assistant Dean of Student Services at the law school at UNC Chapel Hill, and Barry Bryan. And I know, Barry, that it's been a difficult couple of years, but you've taken some real positives out of the situation by doing what we hope people who are struggling with stress and depression do. You've reached out. And tell us a little bit about some of the things that you and your family have been able to gain from such a difficult situation.
Thank you, Sybil. You're right that the death like this is tragic, it's hurtful, it's painful, and it's every day. But what you have to try your best to think about is, what are you going to do from this point forward? And what are you going to do to change what you do in your everyday life? And the greatest things that have come out of Eric's passing is the personal stories that we've heard from so many of his college friends and so many of his high school friends, and from people like Kelly, who knew him and had not just a professional relationship with him, but a personal relationship with him. And they've shared those stories. And we've learned things about our nephew or about our family member, Eric, that we didn't know before, some of them anyway. And very personal, poignant stories, intimate stories that have helped us in so many ways. So I think the
giving you
stories,
comfort made you stronger.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the personal stories and someone created a In Remembrance page on Facebook for Eric, and there are currently 369 friends on that page. So just a lot of involvement and support. The generosity of people from, of course, the family. We knew that the family would be generous, but Eric's friends and strangers even. I never knew Kelly before. I never knew really anyone at Student Services or at UNC Law School for the most part. But people who have reached out from the very moment that I contacted UNC by email first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Richmond. I went to see Eric's brother, and I contacted by email and set up a meeting. And actually didn't set it up, as I remember it, with Kelly. But on my drive over, I'd seen her name somewhere. I called her, and she spent the entire day telling me about where Eric's classes were, what her relationship with Eric was like, showing me where Eric lived, took me back there. I was very intrigued to find out everything I could. And Kelly and, you know, staff at her office were incredibly helpful. And this is where you can move past the tragedy much easier
mm-hmm.
if you have the support and the willingness to share from a university like we did with UNC. And they proved that that really was part of Eric's family to
mm-hmm.
us. And
mm-hmm.
so there's been generosity from the business world now as we seek contributions and donations for this golf tournament. In a tough economic time like now, people are giving and contributing at a rate of about 70% of who we seek funding from. The media, you personally, this radio station, the service that you're providing by allowing this to be heard on the radio for people that are experiencing something very similar
mm-hmm.
to learn about other possibilities and how to turn something positive. It's just an amazing tribute in the long run to Eric and who he was, that he had this much impact on so many people's lives that now they will live differently and love differently.
And for anybody who's depressed and contemplating ending things, your pain may end, but you never have a chance to make things better. And things will get better. And remember that the pain of your family may never end. And we're talking about Eric James Bryant's Memorial Golf Tournament that is coming up on August 16th. Go to wildwoodgreen.com to register or call Wildwood Green at 919-846-8376. Tell me a little bit about your nephew, Eric.
All right. Well, Eric was a brilliant child. He really had advanced thoughts about everything from politics to movies to books he had read, great sense of humor, a little bit odd at times, that sense of humor was, and came at you from nowhere. Very intense, very compassionate, and what the family remembers the most about him is that he was just a very loving child, and it's important for me to share that on behalf of all the family. I get the opportunity to come here, but the entire family would want everyone to know that they appreciate everything that others have shared about Eric, all the personal stories that people have shared.
Losing Eric was not just a loss for your family. It's been a loss for all of us.
That's right. And what we've tried to make sure that we do is figure out a way to move forward and make something more of Eric's life than the way it tragically ended. And we can do that easily because we've learned how many lives Eric had impacted. And we learned that in ways that we never knew before. So if the greatest accomplishment you can have in life is to impact lives positively, then Eric, although his life was 25 years short, he certainly has impacted a lot of people's lives and will influence the lives of others in the future because of programs like Active Minds and because of how he's taught us in his death how to love differently and live differently.
We've been speaking today with Kelly Podger-Smith of UNC Chapel Hill. She's the Assistant Dean of Student Services for the Law School, and Barry Bryant, who is with the Department of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency. We've been talking about a program called Active Minds and how it's becoming more active on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill, the Law School, and across campus, and across campuses all over the country, and the Eric James Bryant Memorial Golf Tournament. You can find more information about that. It's coming up August 16th. At the website for Wildwood Green Country Club, and that's wildwoodgreen.com. You can also give them a call at 919-846-8376 if you would like to register for the golf tournament, which is coming up again August 16th at 8:30. Registration, driving range, and putting green practice begins at 7:30, and the tournament will be a four-man captain's choice or Super Bowl format, and prizes will be awarded to the top three teams, and a drawing will be held for additional prizes. For Around the Triangle, I'm Sybil McGuire.